Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford, and as always, we'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. We welcome you today. We're going to try, and I'm certain we will finish and conclude today on this series we have been teaching, They Did Not Like to Retain God in Their Knowledge. Never before has this passage of Scripture been more apropos than it is today. Everywhere you look in our world, they're trying to erase God from it. They're trying to erase God from it, and they're doing it, most of them, now listen to this that I'm about to say, most of them do it in the name of God. Now, did you hear what I said? They are trying to eradicate God, His Word, His principles, the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. They're trying to eradicate it from the face of the earth, and most are doing it in the name of God or in the name of Christianity. You say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Look at the man in the White House who says he is a Christian but celebrates filth and degradation and immorality every week in some capacity. I even prayed against Valerie Jarrett this past Saturday while on my knees before God. They're using the name of God under the auspices of being a Christian, yet they foment the worst defilement that we've ever witnessed. And they're doing it under the auspices, I'm a Christian too. Well, you're a liar. I witnessed 2 weeks ago the United Methodist Church at their General Assembly Convention. I believe it was in Portland, Oregon. And the vote was 428 to 405. And all these butches and all these dykes were huddled up. And there was a picture of them. And it was absolutely disgusting. Now, I mean, I'm just going to be candid with you. I don't care if that's the lifestyle you want to live, because I know as a man, I cannot change. You're only the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. But for the sake of God and His Word, don't do all of this under the auspices, under the umbrella, under the so-called guidance of Jesus Christ and the church. Don't do that. And that's why with rapidity I kept reiterating yesterday, you don't have to be a sodomite to be a reprobate. Any so-called pastor that would embrace what's taking place, as I said yesterday, Paul the Apostle withstood Peter to his face. I would withstand many ministers to their face and tell them blatantly they are wrong. When you attend the mayor's lesbian wedding, you're saying, I approve of what you're doing. I endorse what you're doing. I'm very comfortable with what you're doing. I have no problem with it. I would withstand the man to his face and say, you're embracing hell itself. You're not right with God. You cannot be right with God. It's impossible to be right with God and embrace the things we are embracing. It is impossible. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You despise God Almighty when you embrace such filth. You despise God and his word, and you certainly grieve the Holy Ghost. You're going to witness greater division. And Obama is a scab and a judgment on this nation. He's divided us more and more and more in our ethnicity, in our so-called Christianity. And these pitiful hirelings for preachers don't have the courage to stand up and say it's wrong. It is sin. Well, you're being judgmental. You better believe I judge everything. I try the spirit whether it's of God or not. Michelle Obama, I wake up every day in a house that slaves built. You know nothing about slavery, Mike. I know nothing about slavery except what I've read in history. I've not treated my neighbor like that, but to bring that up is to invoke contention and strife and debate. That's all that's about. How many other presidents' wives have made such statements? None. But ethnicity, transgenderism, sodomy is what causes all of this unnecessary friction. It's from the root of sin. There were slaves in the Bible. Israel, the whole nation, was under slavery. I'm not going to sit here and justify it by no means, shape, form, or fashion. I'm just telling you, slavery has been a part of the Word of God forever. If you don't believe that, go back and read the book of Philemon. If you'll go back and read the book of Philemon, you will see the reality of slavery. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's what we should do, embrace, etc., etc. I'm just simply telling you it is a reality. Israel served under Egyptian slavery for hundreds of years. That's why God always told Israel to be merciful, to the strangers. Because you are a stranger in a strange land. You always be kind. You always be generous. You always be forgiving. Because you were a stranger in a foreign land and you were under the auspices of slavery. But to make a point of contention of that is just absolutely wrong. Read Philemon and read about Onesimus. He was a slave. But this is the state and the manner of our nation and the perpetual contention. And that's why when Jesus said nation against nation, it's ethnicity against ethnicity. Such anti-Semitism. Not all that say they're Israel are of Israel. You have to understand that. You see, it's because people don't understand the Word of God. I shared this some time ago. Maybe I need to reiterate it. Actually, I shared it on the Hagman and Hagman, Romans 9 and 6, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be blessed. He said, I know you're of the seed of Abraham. In John 8, Jesus said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which they in theory were Ishmaelites, he said, I know you're Abraham's seed. But you have your father, the devil. I won't get into that today. I'll take that subject for another matter. But people don't know their Bible. Got another email today. Lady said, I know I've never read that in the Bible, the word matrix. It's used 5 times in the Old Testament. It means womb, opening. And you got all these people running around saying somebody's changing the Bible. You don't know your Bible. That's why you think it's being changed. I really feel sorry for people. One lady said, I know that it said womb. Well, ma'am, I'm sorry. But I just read that some time back, and it says matrix, because I made a special point to look it up in the Greek, I mean the Hebrew, to make sure it was what I thought it was, and it's the opening of the womb. And the first record of it is in Exodus 34:19, and it's used 4 more times in the Old Testament. See, if you don't know your Bible, you don't know what's right and wrong. You don't know if it's correct or incorrect. This is the problem with the church. All these jacklegs come along with this and that and another, and people think, well, that must be the truth because the guy's got a radio program, he's got a television program, so he must know what he's doing. You've heard me say this, men have done more damage to the Word of God than Satan ever thought about doing, but they're Satan's messengers, they're Satan's ministers. Paul tells us that. Paul tells us that in 2 Corinthians 11:14. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. They are not God's ministers. They're Satan's ministers. Just like Ishmaelites, they were not the promised seed, but they were of the seed of Abraham. You have to understand and rightly divide the scriptures. And I'll say it again. You can get mad if you want to, but you spend all your time on the internet and you spend no time in prayer and no time in the scriptures. So I get all of these questions when you need to have been grown and matured enough that I don't have to even ask some of these questions, but you do because you're immature in the Word of the Lord. Again, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. We're going to pick up verse 30, backbiters, and the next phrase is haters of God. Haters of God, hateful towards God and his word, hateful toward God and godly principles, hatred toward righteousness, hatred toward godliness, hatred toward redemption, hatred toward the blood of Jesus Christ, hatred toward grace. That's right. Hatred toward grace. John 1:17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Hatred towards grace and truth. Haters of God. They hate God. Why do men hate God in such the degree that they hate him? Because God requires and demands a particular, peculiar lifestyle and people. 2 Peter 2:9 said, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I don't know if I said 1 Peter or 2 Peter. It's 1 Peter 2 and 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That word peculiar in the Greek means you are a purchased people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. These people are haters of God. And because they hate God, they hate you. They hate me. I shared that with you yesterday. I don't think sometimes we get the truth when we read the scriptures. We don't correlate. We don't put the scriptures together. John 15:18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. They're haters of God. Because they're haters of God, they hate you. It's a woman's right to murder her own baby. I mean, how nonsensical is that? Why then do we put mothers in prison when they suffocate or murder their child after it's out of the womb? What's the difference? See, now you're playing semantics. Let the child come out of the womb and take a 5-pound sledgehammer and bust its head wide open. Oh, you just murdered that baby. But you can turn the child around, get the torso out, leave the head in the womb, and take and punch a hole in the base of the skull and suck its brains out and kill it and then pull it out, and that was called an abortion. You God haters, you liars, you Supreme Court justices that are liars and God haters, you hate God, you despise God, you loathe God, you want to kill, steal, and destroy just like your father, the devil. Jesus said in John 8:44, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, he's a liar and the father of it. Satan was a murderer in the beginning, and you're of your father the devil, and you're going to murder just like he does, and you're going to justify it. Cain slew Abel. He was a murderer. He was a murderer. 1 John 2 said he was of the wicked one. 1 John 3, excuse me. He was of the wicked one. First John 3:12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. The devil's crowd attacks the righteous people of God because our works are righteous and their works are evil. And they're God haters. They hate God, haters of God, despiteful. A wrongdoer to others for the pleasure which the affliction of the wrong brings or imparts, to treat with harm and injury on purpose. Every time this divided, genetically altered creature in the White House sends forth his edicts, it's out of spite. He's despiteful. He's a wrongdoer to others for the pleasure which the affliction of the wrong brings or imparts. The hurt, the harm, or the injury for a particular purpose and reason. Everything they're doing, it's because they're despiteful. Absolutely despiteful. It's intentional to harm and to hurt and wrong to others, to treat people with harm and injury on purpose. Look at the Trump rallies, how these people come because they're despiteful. They come to harm and to entreat with affliction and injury on purpose. It's intentional. It's not happenstance. They're there to hurt people. That's why I say you don't have to be a sodomite to be a reprobate. These are reprobates. They have no God consciousness. Next, Paul said they're proud. The very things that they should be embarrassed about, ashamed of, and blush about, they're proud of. They believe they are better than anyone else, more deserving no matter what the case or the cause. They're better deserving, even though only 0.03% of American people say they're transgender. They're going to cram it down your throats and make you let them go to their restrooms. If you're a man, you walk into a woman's bathroom. If you're a woman, you walk into a man's bathroom. I'm 61 years of age. Had I tried something like that in high school, they would have arrested me and put me in jail. I said they would have arrested me and put me in jail. Before I got to jail, my principal, Mr. Waters, would have beat my butt with a paddle to no end. And the parents would have been crying aloud. Now parents have allowed their children who are sodomites and transgender and whatever else to seduce them and convince them to embrace them when they didn't raise them like that. Now we're hearing rumor that Bruce Jenner has second thoughts about all the stuff he's done. I wonder why, sir. It was never right in the beginning. sin. God help us. Sin. Nextly, Paul said they are boasters, bragging, boasting in their own doings. They brag. You see, there's something called real pride, and there's something called false pride. Most people have false pride because they're idiots. Yeah, I know that's kind of hard, but I'm just going to tell it like it is. I'm tired of patty cake, baker man. Real pride is when you can profess to do something and you can do it. False pride is when you say, oh, I can do that, but you can't. False pride is when you say, I can play a piano and write music and score music like Beethoven, but you can't play Mary Had a Little Lamb. That's false pride. You can score music, or you say you can, but to you, it's keeping the baseball score. They're not only bragging and boasting against mankind, but against God. You see, man is arrogant and boastful and braggadocious towards God. Ezekiel 16:49, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. Pride. That was one of Sodom's great sins, pride. It's called Gay Pride Day. But they're proud of their sin. They're boastful of their sin. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention. Proverbs 28:25, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. These people that stir up this strife, they're proud, they're boastful in their heart, in their mind, in their spirit. The truth is, they're profusely deceived. Nextly, Paul said they're inventors of evil things. Simply put, they are inventors of evil. We've gone from being sodomites, homosexuals, queers, whatever you want to call them, gay, to transgender. You see, we're trying to invent a word that justifies the carnality and the carnage and the sin. You know, like alcoholism. It is a disease. Well, it's the only disease that we bottle and we sell and we charge taxes on and we make money on it. But it's a disease. I thought cancer was a disease. I didn't know alcohol was a disease. I watched The Sodomite on 60 Minutes Sunday night. He's a recovering alcoholic. He plays some great role in the Obama administration about prisons. But he was an alcoholic, and I know why. He tried to drown his sodomy in alcohol, and he finally seared his conscience and got over the alcoholism and his pride of being gay and his I don't know if he's the woman or the man role. I don't remember which role he played, but he's a big leader in the Obama administration under the auspices of our federal prisons and institutions. He's against incarceration. Because, you see, alcohol and alcoholism, that's a disease. So we bottle it, we sell it, we make money off a disease. See, that's how they keep redefining everything. That's what they're doing, folks. They're redefining everything. That's why Paul said they would be inventors of evil things. They create things that you and I would never imagine. We would never fathom. Our minds would never go there. Our minds would never go there because our minds are set on things above and not on the earth. And you've heard me talk about it, and I wrote about it in my book, in the book of Jude. They break through spiritual membranes, and they cross into spiritual portals and spheres and realms that they should never cross. Just like the fallen angels, they left their first estate. Human beings leave their natural state of mind and go into a perverted state of mind and distortion. And then they expect me to believe that's normal. There's a reason Isaiah 5 and 20 says they would call good evil, evil good, bitter sweet, sweet bitter, put light for darkness and darkness for light. There's a reason the Bible says that. God knew what they would do as they became greater inventors of evil things. And homosexuals are the worst because that's the worst perversion that there is. And so they're always looking and delving into areas that the normal mind would never go. I mean, my dear doctor friend, when he was doing his internship in Florida, told me he's removed gerbils from men's rectums. Who in their right mind would do something of that nature? That's cruelty to animals. I know that's rather graphic, but I'm not telling you something that I don't know. I've had a physician tell me the things he's had to remove. Who in the world thinks of things like that to do? Demons. Demon-possessed people think of stuff like that. People who are reprobate in their mind. Sick. And it's not a disease. It's called sin. You want to call it a disease or God made me this way. No, sir. No, sir. No, ma'am. God didn't make you that way. Sin made you that way. That's the nature of sin. That's why it's called all of these definitions here that I'm going through. I told Brother Tom Watkins in conversation in the phone today, I got the revelation as I was teaching this yesterday, being filled with all unrighteousness. Now they're full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. I'd never seen that before until I began to expound on this. You're being filled with something and you'll become full of it if you continue to abide in it. Inventors of evil things. We go, I say we, that's rhetorical. Human beings go into areas they should never dare go, but they go, because that's where sin takes you. I could elaborate on a lot of things right here, but I will not for the sake of sanctification and wholesomeness. disobedient to parents. Simply put, they do not allow themselves to be persuaded by their parents. They're hard, they're stubborn. I never seen so many stubborn young people in all of my life. And the things that they do that demonstrate their stubbornness. Unbelievable how disobedient Paul, when he was addressing King Agrippa in Acts 26 and 19, he said, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. I was not hard. I was not stubborn. But I was allowed to be persuaded." And of course, if God blinds you, strikes you down because of the greatness of the light, I would hope and pray that any man, sinner or saint, would be persuaded to not be disobedient to God. That was my problem. I was called by God. I too witnessed the great light. But I didn't want to be a preacher. And I was running. And I was in total disobedience to God. I was hard. I was stubborn. And God said to me that night, "If you do not repent and get right tonight, I will never deal with you again." I had just run out of grace and of time. You see, I look at our world and I see the destruction, the confusion, the chaos, the literal obliteration of our sanity, our wholesomeness, we're insane now. We've lost our God consciousness. We've lost our God awareness. And people wonder why I preach so hard against sin. It's something that God burns in my heart constantly to cry aloud and despair not. Because it's the sin that's doing the damage. It's the sin that's destroyed this nation. It is the sin that has destroyed every home, every family, every divorce, every fornicator, every adulterer, every sodomite, every drunkard, every liar, every thief, every cheat, every embezzler. It's all because of sin. You let some idiot who claims to be a psychologist come along and say, "No, you have a disease." Why then do we bottle it and we sell it? I thought we were seeking cures for diseases like cancer and Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's and dementia. I thought those were the diseases. Did you know those are also the results of sin? What do you mean? Because our world is cursed. Our world is cursed. God never intended a man to lose his mind through Alzheimer's. But sin. Even the disciples. Remember the blind man? The disciples said, "Who sinned, him or his parents?" He said, "Neither, but that the works of God might be made manifest." Even they understood sin brings all of this destruction and chaos upon us. And they were wondering, was it the mother who had sinned or the father who had sinned? Why is this man blind? I look at our world. I look at Hillary Clinton and I see the personification of evil. I see a dishonest, lying human being that says, I'll fight for you. No, you'll not fight for me, ma'am. You'll fight for yourself and destroy me trying to get where you want to get. But you don't care about the people. You don't care about those people who died in Benghazi. You lied. Said it was a video. Without understanding, this is the fruit. This is the pear. This is the apple. This is the peach. This is the fruit of being a reprobate. You are without understanding. You'd have no understanding. You can listen to a man like me preach and you don't understand a word I'm saying. Unless the Holy Ghost uses the message and the messenger through Holy Ghost conviction to reprove and to rebuke you and to draw you to the foot of the cross, you don't understand the word I'm saying. It doesn't make any sense to you. It doesn't make any sense to you all at all. That's because you're a reprobate. It makes all the sense in the world to me. When I read this chapter, chapter 1 of Romans, and I read all of these sins, Paul said they would be without understanding. They don't understand. You tell them, you can't go into that woman's bathroom, sir. I don't know why not. I feel like I'm a woman today. You're without understanding. That's because you've become a reprobate. And you are unable to understand right from wrong. Because your conscience is now seared. And that which is evil, you say, no, now that's good. And that which is good, you say, no, now that's evil. And that which is bitter, you say, no, that's sweet. And that which is sweet, you say, no, that's bitter. And that that's light, you say, no, that's dark. And then you say, that that's dark, no, that's light. Everything is 180 degrees turned in your mentation, your thinking, your mind. You're without understanding. Boy, here's a great one. Covenant breakers. What's a covenant breaker, Pastor? A covenant breaker is somebody who refuses to honor their word. You like your health care? You can keep your health care. That's a covenant breaker. You don't honor your word. Obama said, if I don't cut the deficit in half after my first term, vote me out. He's accumulated more debt than every president put together, and they put him right back in office. You know why? They don't understand. Anybody that would embrace that, or Bernie Sanders, or anything of that nature, are without understanding. And those men that stand there and lie are covenant breakers. They're liars. Just like in Auschwitz, these concentration camps, they disrobed them and said, now go in there and take a shower. And they gassed them. And then they put them in ovens and they burned them and cremated them. Covenant breakers. They never honor their word. Covenant breakers. Without natural affection. That, of course, is sodomy. That's a loss of the natural love. A mother that's carrying a baby in her womb should do everything she can to protect it. Isn't it amazing in some states, in an automobile accident, the woman is pregnant, the lady's killed in the car accident, and the baby dies in the womb. The offender is charged with 2 counts of murder. How is that if there's not a child, a real person there? You got idiots that are judges. That this is what is so, this is what is so astounding, to know that we have people who don't even know what's right or wrong when it comes to the sexuality of people. And you want to judge and adjudicate matters in my life? Barney Frank, an avowed sodomite, elected time and time again on Capitol Hill. Frank Dodd legislation in the banking industry. That man is a sodomite, and he don't understand his sexuality, and he's making laws that affect your life and my life. He's without natural affection. I was thinking the other day, Robin Roberts, Good Morning America, she's a lesbian. If I was a straight man or woman, I would not give that woman a chance to interview me. If you don't understand your sexuality, how can you even talk to me like a human being and understand me or my place or my state of mind when your mind is so skewed? You say, preacher, that's pretty hard preaching. How can they not be biased when they tell you they're right and you're wrong? You embrace my sodomy. You pat me on the back. You give me my rights. And if you don't, you're going to jail. You preach against my sin, you're going to jail. I wouldn't, God forbid, any Christian have to sit under a trial, be interviewed by these kind of people. You cannot get justice because they're without understanding. You couldn't get justice if you begged for it. Without natural affection, implacable. The inability to reconcile, existing in perpetual war. This also identifies with covenant breakers. But you said I could keep my health care. Can we not reconcile this matter? I never said that. Don't say I said that. Yet there's videotape, there's audio clips. Thus we live in a perpetual state of war, of hostilities, because people are implacable. They are unable to reconcile. Now, I know what they'll say. Oh, you're Christians. You can't reconcile. You can't embrace me like I am. You're right. That's why the theme of this ministry's been for over 36 years, we preach an uncompromising message. I just can't accept it. I don't apologize for that. I don't say I'm sorry for that. I'm not going to accept your sin and your filth. I would to God you repent. I would to God you get right. I would to God your eyes would be open and you could see the light. You could see the truth. But I cannot pat you on the back and say, you're all right because you're not. You're lost without God, and you'll spend eternity in a devil's hell. unless you repent. But no, they don't have the problem. I, Pastor Langford, I've got the problem. I've got the issue. I'm the dilemma. I'm the crisis. Obama trashing Donald Trump, and all he ever was a community organizer. You talk about proud, arrogant, and a boaster. You talk about a blasphemer. Eulogize Reverend Pinckney and go home on Friday night, put rainbow colors all over the White House and broke out singing Amazing Grace. You don't know anything about the grace of God. Unmerciful. Unmerciful. They have no ability to have compassion. Those sodomites told Lot, we'll do worse to you than those two angels if you don't let us have them and know them. We'll do worse to you. Unmerciful. The angels of God smote the men, both young and old, with blindness, and they still groped at the door. That shows you the militancy, how militant they are. You're going to like this whether you like it or not. You're going to love us. You're going to embrace us. You're going to extol us. You're going to laud us. You're going to praise us. I read an article some time ago, probably 2 years ago, from a homosexual. He said, we're in your homes. We're in your businesses. We're in your churches. We're in your hospitals. We're in your colleges. We're in every facet of your life, and you don't even know it. We're in there. And that's a fact. Sin is a type of leaven. Galatians 5:9. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Let me read this last verse, verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. What does that mean exactly? Knowing the judgment of God, but remaining fearless of God. Romans 3:18, Paul said, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Proverbs 1:7 said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is the end results of a reprobate. This is the end results of apostates. They know that such ungodly deeds are worthy of death and punishment, but yet have pleasure in them that do it, and they also endorse it. They endorse it. Why do you think the Bible says, come out from among them? Why do you think the Bible says in Revelation 18:4, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partaker of her plagues? The wrath of God are the seven vials, the seven bowls. In them is filled up the wrath of God. They're called the seven plagues, the bowls, the wrath of God. He's going to pour them out on the ungodly, the wicked, who never repented of their sins. He says to you and I, come out from among them. I feel so helpless every week, every week of my life. Where can I find a church? Where can I come and hear you preach? Where is there a church I feel so hopeless, so helpless. Get you a group of people that are like-minded and start a cottage prayer meeting. That's what you do. And the devil, he'll try to tear that up. He'll try to tear that up. And then the pastor, when you leave the church, he'll accuse you of tearing up the church. But when you tell him, but sir, you're embracing sin, you're allowing sin, he'll tell you it's none of your business. I'm the pastor. I run the show around here. You also become evil because you left the church. The old saying is true. You can't win for losing. You just can't win. But before I'd sit there and witness apostasy, reprobates, sin, filth, degradation, immorality, and give my tithe and my attendance and my time to that church, I would move on very, very, very quickly. I would not stay there. I would do what the Bible said, come out of her. See, that's the disposition of a prostitute. You go into her. He said, come out of her. Detach yourself from her. Leave her. But some people say, well, I just can't do it because that's where my daddy, my mama went to church, my grandma, my grandpa went to church. Let me tell you something. When they were going to church, it wasn't like that. Do you hear me? My grandparents were Methodists too. But they came out because the Lord told them there was more. The United Methodist Church used to preach against smoking, drinking, dancing, movies. My grandpa told me, he said, the Methodist pastor said to the guys that had the water tobacco in their mouth, he said, leave that water tobacco on the stump outside the church. He said, when service is over with, you can go right back out there and get it. He said, because the buzzard won't even pick it up. Yet the buzzard will eat roadkill, but he said, don't you worry. He won't bother your tobacco. They were preaching sanctification. They were preaching separation. See, look where they are today. Now they're embracing same-sex marriage and butches and dykes and homosexuals and say, God's in it. It's not the same church your granddaddy went to, sir. Not the same church your granddad went to, ma'am. It's corrupt now. It's time to leave. Lest you fall in the judgment of God.
Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to the Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.